I get to teach about the commandments today. And it says, whoever teaches about the commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's a great privilege. Well, it is a privilege to be given the commandments and to be able to treasure, to appreciate the commandments. Certainly the Jews were delighted at how God had given them a way. They knew that they were a favored people because they had been given the law. So we have another opportunity here to reflect on this gift. I say another because we just had the commandments on Sunday. Remember, the first reading on Sunday was the Ten Commandments. And we as a community just finished a series of reflections on the commandments. I think we just finished it last month. We were reflecting on Pope Francis's series of catecheses on the Ten Commandments, which is a very fruitful study. Jesus says here, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill." Abolish means to do away with, to get rid of, to eliminate. Perhaps some people had the idea that because Jesus was indicating a freedom from some of the harsh interpretations of the law, they were thinking that he was saying, okay, no more commandments. Now we can do whatever we want. And he's saying, no, don't misunderstand my teaching. I have not come to abolish the commandments. There's a certain spirit in the modern world that seems to want to abolish the commandments. I suppose there are many ways to interpret this. I can think of two attitudes that are pretty common in our times when it comes to wanting to do away with the commandments. The first attitude is the more childish one, that attitude that says, no one can tell me what to do. Don't give me any rules. It's a kind of anarchist, it's childish. It's like a two-year-old or a three-year-old. You know, children, when they're very young, they say no to everything. No. Okay, eat your breakfast. No. Go to your room. No. And they say no to everything. They even say no to things that they like. You've noticed that about young children. They go through a certain stage where saying no is the greatest, most fun they can have. Well, that's something like the modern attitude toward moral law or the commandments of God. No. I don't care what you tell me. You say, well, what about the commandment against murder? No. They won't listen to any common sense, it seems. Now that's, I say, the most childish, the most extreme case. But there's another attitude in the world, which is a kind of abolishing the commandments, which sounds a little bit more sophisticated. This is the attitude that says something to this effect. Well, the commandments are good, sure, for those days. Good for people who are uneducated or primitive societies. Sure, that's fine. But we've developed beyond that mentality. We don't have to limit ourselves to those old rules. You see, it's a kind of sophisticated way of abolishing the commandments. They wouldn't say, let's abolish the commandments. They would say, well, we've outgrown them. We know better now. The effect, of course, is the same. They don't have to follow. They claim not to have to follow. Now, the difficulty with that second mentality is that it can sound something like what Jesus says. I'm here to fulfill the commandments. And people might say, yes, let's fulfill the commandments, or let's live by love. Let's not impose any burdens on anyone. But it sounds something like what Jesus says, but it doesn't mean the same thing. See, they use the same language, but it doesn't mean the same thing, because that worldly mentality is a kind of rationalization. We'll get around the commandments by saying that we're going to love instead. Jesus says, no, love is the fulfillment of the commandments. It is built on the commandments and brings them to their real completion. Well, we reflected a lot on the commandments when we were following Pope Francis's teachings, and he said again and again, the commandments, which sound negative because they're put in a negative form, are preserving it and holding out for us positive values, giving us an indication of how we are to live, not how we're not supposed to live, but how we are to live. And this is always a dynamic when it comes to guidance. We can be told what not to do, and we can be told what to do. Even Jesus on Sunday, he said, you know, get these animals out of the temple. Don't sell animals in the temple. You could say it's a negative commandment. The problem with the negative form of commandments is that they're never complete, because there's always something that's not mentioned. Oh, don't sell sheep? Well, then can we sell goats? No, don't sell goats. Can we sell turtle doves? No, don't sell any animals. Well, can we trade them? No. Can we change the money? No. So every time you give a restriction, someone will come up with another thing that doesn't seem to be specified. So negative commandments have that limitation. They just say what you can't do. Whereas a positive form can be more inclusive. Say, don't treat my father's house as a marketplace. That's the negative way of saying it. So it's not a marketplace. But then he says, well, it's a house of prayer. And once we say, oh, it's a house of prayer, that eliminates anything that doesn't fit in a house of prayer. So and this is, I think, where Jesus is going here. I'm not abolishing the commandments. I'm not telling you that you can do what you can't do, but I'm giving you a fuller understanding, a higher understanding of what these commandments are teaching, the way of life that they are guiding us in. In fact, the relationship with God that they are preserving, that's really at the heart of it. Think of Moses. Moses, he received the Ten Commandments on the mountain. He brought them down. The people had already become depraved, worshiping an idol. So he threw down the tablets. He said he broke the commandments. Well, he went back up the mountain and he got two more tablets of the commandments. You could write the commandments down again. The writing down of the commandments, or the etching on the tablets, that's not the essence of the commandments. The essence is going to be face to face with God. See, Moses, he grasped the value of the commandments because he was God's friend. He was communicating with God face to face. And if you remember what happened when Moses was in the presence of God, his face was changed. Sign of that his heart was changed. It wasn't that the commandments were burdening him. He himself was being changed by them, transformed. Remember when we saw Jesus on the mountain of the Transfiguration? Who was with him? Moses and Elijah. People who, they didn't simply give laws. They were changed by their encounter with God. They glowed with the love of God. And that's what all commandments are for. To change us, to be interiorized. Or this is something along the lines of what Jesus is saying here when he says, I have come to fulfill them. I've come to bring about what the commandments were for in the first place, that you will be my people and I will be your God, that you will walk in my ways, that we will have life together. So the Ten Commandments, which have these negative quality, are saying, yeah, if you go outside that boundary, then you can't have life with me. So don't do that. Don't go committing adultery. Don't go lying and bearing false witness. Don't do that, because you're leaving the path that leads to everlasting life. I love how Moses speaks in today's first reading, again, about the not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole way of life, the whole way of journeying with God, which Moses learned, and he was told to instruct the people on how to journey with God, not just rules to follow, but a whole way of life. And he says, "This, I'm giving you these statutes and decrees, which are a treasure. Here's something that makes it clear that we are a great nation because we have a great God, and he has given us a great way to live. It's an inheritance." And he says, look at how important it is that we live this and that we hand it on to our children. And you have something precious, an heirloom, you preserve it and you hand it on to your children. So he says here, take care. Be earnestly on your guard not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, or let them slip from your memory as long as you live, but teach them to your children and to your children's children. What parent wants to burden his children? What parent wants his children to be miserable with all kinds of rules? No one wants that. But every parent wants his or her children to have fullness of life, to have security, to have to be happy. And that's why we hand on this way, this inheritance. So this is a way of understanding the commandments that the world just can't get. I started out by saying how the world tries to abolish the commandments or abolish the law. That sad mentality is infecting everybody, and so people think that to have religion is to be burdened, or is to have our freedom restricted. No, that's completely the opposite of the truth. Who wants to be restricted? Nobody wants that. Who wants to be burdened? Nobody. We want freedom. Well, you want to know freedom? Follow the law of God. That's the way of freedom. It's the way of that channels us in the most life-giving, most fulfilling, most beautiful way of life. That's why whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Because God wants us to be great in his kingdom. And he shows us the way. So as we continue our Lenten journey, let's treasure the way of life that he gives us.